This is a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
And we are currently joined by Koen Aldershoff and Jamila Ross Hayes from the band Marmalade, who are coming on to talk about the band's new EP, Sober, coming to us live from Tamaki Makaurau. Morena, folks. How you doing?
Morena. Thanks for doing the excellent pronunciation. That was amazing.
You absolutely smashed it.
They're hard names. Yeah, you did it.
Oh, that's a challenge. I find phonetics to be quite a good challenge, Jay. Like, when I was figuring out how to say te reo properly, that was a real fun thing to do. Yeah. Yeah.
Just listen and then you get it.
Maybe, I don't know, it's good to, like, use... I'm talking all the time. I'm using my mouth all the time, so I feel like I know how to make more sounds. I'm yapping away. But yeah, Tamaki looks like blue skies abound. Looks great. Very, very jealous. We're muggy and very cloudy and warm. It's a weird combination.
It will probably hit us. It'll probably hit us soon, you know.
Yeah,
you guys get the, you guys get it first, you know.
Yeah. That's how it always works. South Island gets battered first, eh? In preparation for this interview, I actually had Marmalade on toast this morning, which is... I haven't had for ages.
Wow.
Yeah. We had a big pot of marmalade at our house from, like... I don't know, a couple of my flatmates work at a bar, and bar was using marmalade, and now we've got marmalade at home. And so... I forgot how funny it is. Like,
The bar was using marmalade?
For cocktails, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. It's a buzzy texture, eh? It's so, like, kind of clumpy, but then also very runny at the same time. It's weird.
It's very strange. We did a photo shoot with a jar of marmalade, and one of the band members, like, put their hand and, like, had it, like, dropping off their hands. It was weird. I'm still, like, on the fence about marmalade. I think I probably have it. I probably have it, like, maybe... twice a year when I'm at my grandma's house.
I think that's a good ratio.
I think that's a good ratio. Mm. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite kind of marmalade?
I honestly don't even know how many kinds of marmalade I've had. Probably just this, you know.
the
musical one.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good answer. Very, very good answer.
That's the right answer.
On top of, you know, releasing this new EP literally today, this morning, Kapai, you guys have had a pretty big year opening for some big bands going all around the place. You are open for Holly Aerosmith on Waiheke Island this year. How was that?
Oh, we really wanted to. It was supposed to happen from Waiheke. Mm. And... it would have been amazing to play the show, but I think it got cancelled. We did play for some other amazing... We played for French for Rabbits earlier this year. Yes. That was really fun.
Yeah. And Hard the Unclear as well.
Hard the Unclear. That was so fun as well. Yeah, they're great.
We did go along to Holly's show, Shooting Fork, and it was so beautiful. So I'm sure we'll play, you know, together maybe in the future, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, you know, like... There's definitely a really cool folk music scene here in New Zealand. I feel like it's a global thing that folk music is really supportive of other folk music. I don't know, like really inclusive. Mm-hmm. And we sit sort of on the border of folk music. But when we play as a duo and we play an acoustic show, like sometimes we play Sulfur Sounds or, you know, Hala shows or our own acoustic shows. And if we play acoustically as a duo, it's incredibly folky. And you strip it back down to the lyrics and it's like, folk at its core. But then, of course, when we play live with a five-piece band, it's like this almost indie rocky folk music.
A bit more fast-paced. Yeah. I have a kind of, I guess, preconception of folk music being much more slower than what you guys produce as well. I think there's a tempo.
Yeah, and funny enough, when we play as a duo, we slow the songs down as well. You know, it just kind of, we take the time a bit more. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's more space for exactly what you're saying. Like, folk music has that... the weight sits on the lyrics and the story and the you know, body of the song, and it's very, I don't know, versus like, say, the recorded music where, I don't know, it's in a digital space and you have to capture the short attention span that's you know, the current like 3 seconds or whatever it is. It's all a bit faster and it's all a bit louder and it's all a bit more ear candy in the recorded music.
No, for sure. The reason I asked about Holly Aerosmith is because it said that on the press release, so you might want to edit that. have someone have a go through that with a fine tooth comb. the cover art.
I really like. It's so funny. Like every time you do one of those, you're like, yeah, this is good. And then literally, like a week later, you're like, oh no, I'm gonna change it.
Yeah, it's a whole thing, eh? The cover art for the new EP features you two, kind of shoulder deep, wearing in water, wearing full blown like just regular shirts, looking incredibly wet. I assume you're in a lake/river/ocean for this. I want to know how many takes did it take to get it right, and how cold was the water?
It was freezing. It was so. This was, you know, we usually take about just over 2 months to prep for like, or like just before, so 2 months before the release, we sort of start the release process, right? So the song is being recorded, and we're like, oh, okay, cool, let's send it out. The distributor, blah, 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 all that, like, but at that point, we're like, oh, shoot, if we want to do that, like, 2 months before the date that we sort of picked, then we kind of need to have a photo, like, now. So
2 months ago, in the middle of winter.
I was going to say, it's winter, in the freezing cold waters.
Yeah, it was winter, and it was the beach here in Auckland, which is not as cold as the beach in Dunedin. I'm very aware.
Yeah.
But that would have been brutal. But it was still pretty bloody cold
and way wavier than we planned it to be. And this shot was us kind of like kneeling, but even kneeling, we're like holding onto each other underneath the water, trying not to like fall backwards. And there's another shot that will be in the CD booklet that we'll likely post on socials as well. It's like from a sort of bird's eye view. So the photographer's standing in the water up to her knees, like standing over us, and we're actually holding onto each other underneath the water. But
we're
also
holding onto the photographer's legs.
Also have our legs like hooked around them so that we don't
almost
drift
took
away.
Her out. We've got a couple of videos on our Instagram that of the day when we and insight information. We did have a wetsuit on underneath the shirt, so it was at least like in a wet. Otherwise, we would have definitely had hypothermia.
Yeah.
But it's like almost tackled. There's every now and then Flora, who took the photos, like stumbles with her expensive camera, and it's like, oh my god, like,
yeah, better have that thing insured, eh?
It took a few takes, but because it was so freezing, we had to be snappy. Like, yeah, I think we were only in the water for maybe like an hour, not even.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's not like that's not snappy. That's
For a photo shoot, like an hour is not that long to be taking photos, I feel. And we got a lot of different photos, not just that one photo.
Very true.
But yeah, it was pretty cold, but someone said like, oh well, are you really putting effort into your music if you're not almost getting hypothermia taking photos for it? I was like, yeah, okay, fair.
Very true. Art is pain, as they say. The everything aside from the drums on the EP was recorded at your in-home studio. Did that lend to creating a more authentic sound for y'all?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's all sorts of ear candy in the music. And it's because we were able to take our time, I think. You know, I really enjoy the production. I think I will eventually make some videos about breaking down each part of the song and like all the layers, because there's about 50 vocal tracks, or like, you know, like I think 12 guitar layers or things like that. Which is sounds excessive, but it just adds to this really tone rich sound. There's actually in the last song on the EP, Cigarette Habit, there's like we had an intro that was just drums and then the guitar and the whole band comes in. But we added just like very last minute, I decided to add some synths sort of swelling up and some bird sounds, and I really wanted a tui in there, but there's no really like any tui recordings online that are like, you know, accessible. And so
really
eventually just started. It's hard to find. It was like, I think it was like the sort of lasery sound of a tui, you know, like the sort of laser beam sound that they make.
Yeah.
But not really the like the percussive sort of whistling. And I really wanted some of that in there. So eventually I couldn't find it. So eventually I just recorded myself whistling as a tui. But there's also like, you know, because it's at home and it's not a professional studio, there's also I think there's a car going by and you can kind of just hear it. It's kind of funny. It all adds to it.
Yeah.
I was going to say... Oh, sorry, you go. Sorry. Sorry, no, you go.
It's always nice to record in a really nice studio.
Yeah.
But if you're paying for a really nice studio, there is a bit of a time crunch. It does feel like you kind of have to just smash out exactly what you've planned and not get too creative, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also feel like you don't necessarily need to be in a super expensive studio to make good tunes, you know? There's an art to playing it simple sometimes, which I really respect. It's funny you mentioned the bird song, because I did want to say that comes on the final track, Cigarette Habit. It kind of gave me a bit of a metaphor for a metaphor for wellness, almost as if it's, you know, you've gone through a bit of a journey and you're coming out the other side.
100%, and it's like, you know, all the four first songs on the EP are all about, like, I think they're just under a 3 minute mark, which kind of ridiculous. Four songs. I want them to be twice as long so you can enjoy them, but then again, you can play them twice. But then the last song, you're right, it has, like, it's just too cool. It's super simple at its bones. Like, it's super, yeah. And funny enough, the lyrical content is quite the opposite of Cigarette Habit. It's more, you know, it's two friends trying to help each other out of a substance abuse, like, you know, trying to help each other out, but actually end up sort of spiraling further down the rabbit hole, so to speak. And but yeah, the music is, especially that intro, is a bit more like, let's have a breath, kind of like, let's set this up for the last song. And it's a nice sort of finish. I think that's why we always played live last on the set live as well.
I always feel relaxed when I listen to it, like when I hear it on the EP, and also when playing it live. Like when playing it live and that intro starts, I'm like, oh, we've made it to like, I can relax now, like it's happened. It's like, maybe that's how it, maybe it's a good, people keep asking like, how do you feel on release day? Maybe that is like a good, like, exemplar of the feeling. It's like, oh, okay, we're here, we've made it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, you're
crazy, you can't really believe it, but like, yeah, it's cool.
I think if you want to add a lot of depth to your live show with that song, you should get some real birds and have them make real songs. Birds.
Well, real birds.
we got some new members this year, and there's one new song that we play that we will probably release maybe next year or something, called Julia, and it has a whistle outro. So, and Beth, who plays the bass, I don't know how she does it. I can't do it. I find it so tricky, even just to play the guitar and whistle at the same time. The rhythm is completely different. And she was like, well, you know, as soon as you sort of have one as muscle memory, the other one's pretty easy. And I was like, dude, that's insane.
Yeah.
But, so we all, in the intro of this song, when we played live, we do play just the whistling bit of the track.
Oh, yeah.
Before the drums kick in as an intro. And then we haven't really played with tracks live before, but we'll play that little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, also whistle like to ease ourselves and just like
when we play Spark Arena, we'll bring real birds.
yeah
Just let contact Doc, be like, give me your tui. Yeah. That's awesome. I just have one last question here this morning. I want to talk about the track Caffeine High, which we're mentioning before, I think. To me, the song sounds like it's about working hospo and people just tell you stuff, which, you know, I've experienced generally, when people just kind of, you know, opening up to you in hospo. They're fine stories, but there are they can be quite weird that, you know, sometimes people feel entitled to kind of yap about whatever they want to you, because you have to interact with each other because of trade. I want to know what might be your funniest experience while in that situation, if that's happened to you before.
Oh, I feel like I should have a really, like, crack-up story for this. But, like, a lot of the sort of, like, things that I referenced in the song are, like, I guess, like, slight exaggerations of reality. But luckily, no one came in and confided in me about cheating on their partners. But you do get a lot of people that coming in and exactly like you say, just kind of telling you really personal stuff without...
Without first checking.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, it's just like updates on their wife and kids, or, you know, what's going on in their lives, or telling you about, I don't know, I guess there's like, that's like the line about being like, kind of like joking about being someone's therapist, is that sometimes it feels like you're like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And as a person, I actually quite love that. Like, I'm an extrovert, so I kind of love having those interactions with strangers, and I actually don't really mind people telling me stuff. I think it's kind of interesting. It makes your day interesting.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I think it's funny, as a barista or as anyone in hospital, you're interacting with like hundreds of people a day, and you're there sort of one person, which I find can be, I guess, quite special and I think important too, because people sort of undervalue people who work in those jobs a lot.
Totally.
When actually you're providing, I think, way more than a cup of coffee to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And maybe not as funny, but sometimes I would get the sense that some people that would come into the cafe, that I would might be like the only person they talk to that day. You know, there might be kind of like an older person who lives alone, and they kind of just come and get a coffee and have a chat, and that they don't actually have a lot of other people around to talk to. And in that sense, I think that, I don't know, being a barista holds more value than simply just making someone a cup of coffee sometimes.
Totally. Yeah, definitely agree. I think the one of the worst experiences I've ever had was, I used to volunteer at a op shop, and one time this family came through, and we're chatting away, and I was like, oh, what brings you to Dunedin? Because I was like, oh, from out of town. They're like, a funeral. And I was like, oh, damn. Shit.
Oh, no.
That's dark.
What do you say to that, Abe?
Hey, like, at least they got like an op shop trip out of it as well. You know?
Yeah. Gave him a discount. Now, thank you very much for coming on the program today. Thank you so much for coming on. I do want to know, do you have any shows you'd like to plug before we head off?
Not in Dunedin. It would be really cool to come down to Dunedin for sure. Mm-hmm. We've got our The Picnic is the show that we've been working on. It's our EP release, and it's like we're essentially marketing it as a mini festival, because we're bringing four other bands on as well as ourselves. So Macy, The Dawns, Fan Club, and Psycho Gab.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of cool, varied, you know, music genre bands that are all in different stages of their musical career. So it's really cool and actually we're pairing that with Rat World as well. So we're putting that
beautiful
on with Rat World in.
Oh,
nice. They're bringing on music journalists to, in the lead up to the event, they're reviewing each artist, like some of their work in some really awesome write-ups that have already been published. And then on the day, at the gig, we'll get the artist to go straight off stage into their, you know, onto the couch in front of a camera and do an interview with the artist as they're just come off stage, just mm-hmm. straight after their performance. So that'll be really cool as well.
Awesome.
Plus, you know, and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. If anyone is, I mean, I know a lot of people, like, you know, it's like this time of year where students are coming back home from, you know, people might be based in Tamaki. So if anyone's like lives in Dunedin, but it's up on the 16th, which is this next Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
Come down, come hang out at mm-hmm. Tuny Fork.
For sure. It'd be a real fun time. Wish I could be there, but I'm going to be stuck in Dunedin doing hospo, actually, that day. So, yeah.
You got a song from
the future. I'll start writing some lyrics down. But thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was fantastic having you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Of course. Cheers. All right, folks. That was Kun Aldershoff and Jamila Ross-Hayes. We're chatting about the new Marmalade EP, Sober. Here is Cigarette Habit by Marmalade. You're listening to The One. Coming up very shortly, we'll have a korero with author Deirdre Brown on a new book that she's co-authored about Māori art history called Toi Te Mana. You're listening to The One. Keep it real.
Thanks for listening to Radio 1 91 FM podcast. All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.